Please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 in your Scofield Bible, page 1331. We'll begin with the ninth verse and read responsively through verse 18. Verses 9 through 18. Let's stand, please, as we read these verses. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Let's pray. And Father, we're thankful for this series of sermons. It's wonderful to know that our future is secure in Thee. Thank You for the very thought of heaven, the thought of those who are there, whom we love and whom we've known in the past. We pray that You'd help our hearts to be tender toward the subject. Help, we pray, that our minds and hearts might work together in attention to the service and to the preaching. And help us to be better for having been here tonight, or especially help our preacher tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for that blessed hope that beats in our breast, that hope that we shall see Christ. That's what heaven's all about. Thank You for heaven. Bless this hour as we spend it together, thinking about our permanent dwelling place, where we'll be moving pretty shortly. In Jesus' name, amen. I dreamed I searched heaven for you, searched vainly in heaven for you. So won't you prepare to meet me up there? I dreamed I searched heaven for you. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. I dreamed of a place that's called heaven, sweet home of the happy and free, a haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land. Heaven's wonderful for many reasons. It's wonderful because of what is not there. Revelation 21:25 says there's no night there. Revelation 21:27 says there'll be no lies there. Revelation 21:27 says there'll be nothing that worketh abomination in heaven. Revelation 21:27 says there'll be nothing that defileth in heaven. Revelation 22:15 says, there'll be no sorcerers in heaven. Revelation 22:15 says, there'll be no whoremongers in heaven. Revelation 22:15 says, there'll be no murderers in heaven. Revelation 22:15 says, there'll be no idolaters in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, there'll be no tears in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, there'll be no death in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, there'll be no pain in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, there'll be no sorrow in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, there'll be no crying in heaven. Revelation 21:8 says, there'll be no unbelieving in heaven. Revelation 21:8 says, there'll be no fearful in heaven. Revelation 21:8 says, there'll be no abominable in heaven. Revelation 21:1 says, there'll be no sea in heaven. Now, those are things the Bible says. Now, as you look at the things the Bible says, for example, if there's no pain, then list every illness you want to, and there'll be none of those in heaven. But I've simply called to your attention what the Bible says will not be in heaven. Heaven is not only wonderful because of what is not there. Heaven is wonderful because of its beauty. As I mentioned last Sunday night, the streets of gold and the gates of pearl, the foundation of precious stones, the river of life, the tree of life, the wall of jasper. Heaven is not only wonderful because of what is not there. Heaven is not only wonderful because of the beauty that's there, but heaven is wonderful because of loved ones who are there. My mother, I'll see her. My sister Loreen, who died before I was born, whom I never saw, I'll see. My sister Hazel, who died before I was born, I'll see. Uncle Harvey is there. Aunt Jimmy is there. Uncle Roy and Aunt Octa. Uncle Basil, Aunt Gera. Mrs. Hiles' mother and father and her brother, who went to heaven a few days ago, are all there. Heaven is not only wonderful because of what is not there, and because of its beauty, and because of loved ones who will be there, but heaven is wonderful because of the former friends. Are you looking at me and listening to me? The former friends who will be there. Heaven is wonderful because I'll be able to see my good friend, Dr. John Rice, with whom I traveled for 22 years. Heaven is wonderful because I'll get to see my good friend, Dr. Lester Roloff, who is a dear, close friend. Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., whom I knew well. Dr. Ford Porter, whose funeral sermon I preached. And I preached Dr. Roloff's funeral sermon and Dr. Rice's funeral sermon. And my good friend, Dr. Bill Rice, I spoke at his funeral service. And my good friend, Dr. R.G. Lee, I was an honorary pallbearer at his funeral service. And then my good friend, Dr. Bob Keyes, and all the friends we've known in days gone by, it's wonderful because we'll see them. Heaven is not only wonderful because of what is not there and because of the beauty that's there, and because of loved ones who are there and friends who are there, but Old Testament saints who are there. I'm looking forward to seeing Elijah. I think he's got bulging muscles. I think he'd make Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a puny fellow on the beach. Me, he looks sort of dumb anyhow. But I'm looking forward to seeing what Moses looks like. And I'll get to see what Elisha looks like and Noah. And stud take his course in summer in 1 week on shipbuilding. I'm looking forward to that. And Abraham and Job and Daniel and I'm looking forward to meeting David and Joshua and Caleb and Haggai and Zechariah and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Adam and Joseph and Samuel and all the Old Testament saints. Heaven is wonderful not only because of what is not there and the beauty that's there and my friends that are there and my loved ones that are there and the Old Testament saints that are there, but heaven is wonderful because of the New Testament saints. I'm looking forward to meeting Peter and Andrew and James and John and Paul and Barnabas and Luke and John Mark and Philip and Timothy and Matthew and Zacchaeus and all the others of the New Testament saints of God. But in the Bible, now this is very interesting. In the Bible, look at me now, I'm preaching to you. In the Bible, very little is said about these things. Did you know very, very little is said about heaven now in the Bible? Not much is said about it. It has the size of the New Jerusalem is mentioned in Revelation chapter 21. And occasionally, just some little peek tells us something about heaven now. practically every glimpse we have in the Bible into heaven, it just talks about Jesus, that's all. Because, you see, Jesus is what heaven is all about. Now, again and again, the Bible, God pulls back the curtain of heaven and shows us heaven, but He only shows us Jesus, that's all. For example, in Philippians 1:23, Paul said to heaven is to be with Christ, which is far better. He didn't say heaven is to be with golden streets, which is far better. Or he didn't say to be in heaven is gates of pearl, which is far better. Didn't say to be in heaven with no disease, which is far better. Didn't say to be in heaven where there's no night, which is far better. Didn't say to be in heaven where there's no sin. He simply said to be with Christ, which is far better. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, absent from the body and present with the golden streets. No, it doesn't say that. Absent from the body and present with the gates of pearl. Didn't say that. Absent from, and by the way, Paul had been there. Paul saw it. When he was in Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead and died and went to heaven, caught up to the third heaven, the Bible says. And he'd been there. He saw it. Oh, Paul, what did you see? I saw Jesus. Did you see the gates of pearl? I saw Jesus. Did you see the streets of gold? I saw Jesus. Did you see how big it was? I saw Jesus. Did you see there's no disease there? I saw Jesus. I'm saying, heaven to the child of God is Jesus. The writer said, 'tis heaven to me where'er I may be, if He is there. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 56, we have another little curtain pull, and we have a little glimpse of heaven, as we studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning. The beloved Deacon Stephen, the only beloved deacon I ever met, is dying. And the Bible says, he says, I see heaven opened and I see gates of pearl. Didn't say a word about the gates of pearl. I see heaven open and I see streets of gold. Didn't say a word about the streets of gold. I see heaven open and I see shout. Didn't say a word about that. He said, I see heaven open and I see the Son of Man. That's what he said. That's what heaven's all about. Don't get too happy about streets of gold. Get happy because Jesus is there. Don't get too happy about gates of pearl. Get happy because Jesus is there. Let your shout meter register 10 when you think about the gates of gold, gates of pearl. Let it register 1,000 when you think about the face of Christ. He'll be there. And again I say, in practically every instance where anything is said about heaven in the Bible, it says almost nothing. Only one place does it mention streets of gold. Only one place does it mention gates of pearl. But practically every time we see any place where heaven is mentioned and the curtain is pulled and we get a glimpse of heaven, it just starts talking about Jesus right away. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, and so shall we ever be with the gates of pearl. No. So shall we ever walk on streets of gold. No. So shall we ever be where there's no weeping. No. Doesn't say that. It said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because, you know, the real Christian, okay, glory to God, I'll walk on streets of gold. Well, I don't know how it's going to walk on streets of gold. I never have walked on them. Maybe fine. I don't know. Some of you folks that won't tithe, they'll dig them up and put them in your safety deposit box. But I'm not worried about that. I just want to see Jesus, that's all. And the main attraction of heaven is not gates of pearl. And the main attraction of heaven is not streets of gold. And the main attraction of heaven is not foundation of precious stone. And the main attraction of heaven is because we don't get sick and don't have cancer, don't have heart attack, don't have tuberculosis, and don't have AIDS, and don't have colds, and don't have sugar diabetes, and because there's no cursing, and no Playboy magazine, and no Hollywood, and no movies, and no dancing, and no liquor. I mean, that's true, but praise God, God doesn't say much about that, but He pulls back the curtain of heaven again and again and again, and almost every time He does it, I see Jesus. To be with Christ, which is far better. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, and absent from the body and present with the Lord. We have a glimpse of heaven as the curtain is pulled back in Revelation chapter 4. And the Bible, Revelation chapter 4, says that the angel came and said, hey, come here, I want to show you what heaven's all about. And I want to show you what heaven is all about. And so he takes us and he pulls back the curtain. And the Bible said the first thing we see is a throne. And him that sat on the throne. That's the first thing we see. I've talked to three people in my lifetime who died, went to heaven, and came back.
And every one of them said the first thing they saw was a throne and Jesus on that throne and Jesus getting up to come and welcome them and approaching them as he got up off the throne. Not a single one of them told me what the temperature was like. Not a single one of them told me what the architecture was like. Not a single one of them told me what the furnishings were like. Not a single one of them told me what the atmosphere was like. Not a single one mentioned what the streets were like. Not a single one mentioned what the gates were like. Not a single one mentioned what the foundations were like. But all three people, one lived in Amarillo, Texas, one lived in Struthers, Ohio, and one lived 509 miles from Amarillo, Texas, in Henderson, Texas, and none of them knew each other, and I talked to them individually, and every one of them said they died and went to heaven and came back, and what they saw was a throne and Jesus on that throne and Jesus coming down to meet them from the throne and welcome them into heaven. I was in Struthers, Ohio. I was preaching there at a church in Struthers, Ohio, and the former pastor of that church had been sick, and he'd gone to heaven and came back, and I went to see him. He was an old man, must have been 6 to 7 years old, and I went to see him, and he was fussing. I walked in. He said, "Hello, Brother Howell, I've always wanted to see you, but I'm mad." I said, "What you mad about?" He said, "I am mad." I said, "What?" He pointed to the nurse. He said, "That nurse right there. I'm mad at the nurses." He said, "I died, went to heaven, and they revived me and got me back and brought me back, and I am angry." He saw Jesus. Fellow in Henderson, Texas said, "I died, went to heaven. What'd you see?" "I saw Jesus." Fellow in Amarillo, Texas, the cleaners in Amarillo, Texas, he died, came back. I asked him what he saw, and he said, "I saw Jesus." Now, you talk about life after death all you want to, but brother, I've seen folks who've been there and come back, and they said exactly what the Bible said. They saw Jesus. Revelation chapter 4, we get just a little glimpse of heaven, and Jesus is on the throne in Revelation chapter 4. And it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll receive our crowns. But what do we do? Oh, I know. We're going to put our crowns on our heads and say, "Oh, boy, let me have a mirror here. See if that crown fits me well." No, the Bible said we're going to take off our crowns and throw them at the feet of the main character. Throw them at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible said in Revelation chapter 4, we'll sing, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created." And all of a sudden, a southern gospel quartet begins to sing, a quartet of angels from southern part of heaven. And they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Revelation chapter 4, you have the curtain pulled back, get a glimpse of heaven. What do you see? Jesus being praised and honored. That's what you see. I'm saying heaven is Jesus. Revelation chapter 5, we have a glimpse into heaven. You have an angel there that's holding a book, and that book has seven seals on it. And that book represents the title deed to all that Jesus purchased on the cross. The title deed to heaven, if you please. The title deed to a new earth, if you please. The title deed to our new bodies, if you please. And here's that fellow, that angel, and he holds that book. And it has seven seals. And he says, "Who is worthy to open the book?" Who's worthy? And the Bible says they looked on earth, all over the earth, and they couldn't find a king that was worthy. And they couldn't find a judge that was worthy. And they couldn't find a prophet that was worthy. And they couldn't find a preacher that was worthy. And they began to cry, "Oh, we've got to open that book. Our heaven's title deed is hinges on opening that book. And nobody on earth is worthy of opening that book." And it says they looked beneath the earth and tried to find somebody beneath the earth that was worthy to open that book. And nobody was worthy. We've got to get the book open. Our hope for heaven is to get the book open. And the Bible said they looked above the earth. Moses, he's not worthy to open that book. And Elijah's not worthy to open that book. Abraham's not worthy to open that book. And Elisha's not worthy to open that book. And David's not worthy to open that book. And Samuel's not worthy to open that book. And Joseph's not worthy to open that book. And it says, the angel said, I began to cry. Because nobody in heaven, above the earth, or on the earth, or beneath earth, we've got to get that book open. And the Bible says all of a sudden, there stood a lamb. The Lamb that John the Baptist spoke about when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And that Lamb reached up and took that book. And once again, our little glimpse into heaven shows us Jesus as he opens that book. And now then, we can go to heaven. Why? Because the book is open. And the Bible says, we sing, "Who is worthy to open the book?" And the angel said, "I wept much for no man in heaven, or no man on earth, and no man under the earth." And someone shouts, "Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And the Lamb of God steps up and opens the book, and all believers begin to praise him. And we sing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God." I'm saying, in Revelation chapter 4, a glimpse into heaven, and we see Jesus. In Revelation chapter 5, a glimpse into heaven, and we see Jesus. And all of a sudden the angels get happy, and they get religion too, and they're not even saved. See, we sing because we're saved. "Thou hast redeemed us unto God." And the angel said, "We're not even saved, but the folks that are saved are so happy that our shouting's going to be catching." And angels are gonna, and the Bible says the angels join in. At least 12 million angels singing at one time. Check it in the Bible. It says at least 12 million angels. And in Revelation chapter 5, when that book is open, and we start shouting, and it says the angels sing, and they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then the Bible says, every creature on earth and under the earth and in heaven will sing, "Blessing and glory and honor and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever." I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, heaven does have golden streets and gates of pearl, and heaven does have foundations of precious jewels and stones, and heaven doesn't have cursing and sickness and death and heartache and heartbreak, but the main attraction of heaven is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Yeah. Then these four angels that had that spell back in chapter 4, the Bible says they just say, "Amen. Amen." Get this. Get this. All, when this book is opened and heaven's title deed is open, all the redeemed sing, and then 12 million angels sing, and then everything above the earth, everything beneath the earth, everything on the earth sings, and these four angels step back and say, "Amen. Amen." They don't say "Amen." They say "Amen." And then all believers shall worship him forever and forever. Revelation chapter 6. The veil is pulled, the curtain is drawn, and we get a glimpse into heaven again. And the Revelation chapter 6, it simply talks about the opening of the seals. And guess who opens the seals? The main character of heaven. The main attraction. Jesus opens the seals in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 7, a glimpse into heaven. And the Bible says that millions of people out of every nation under heaven will sing praises to God. And somebody says, "Who are these people?" And they says, "These are they who were saved out of great tribulation." Now hear me carefully. These are the tribulation saints. The ones that are one to Christ, for the 144,000 Jewish John the Baptist that covered the whole world for 7 years, and people that never heard the gospel before the rapture hear the gospel, and they get saved from China, they get saved from Russia, they get saved from Yugoslavia, they get saved from Brazil, they get saved from Ecuador, they get saved from Canada, they get saved from China, they get saved from India, they get saved from Asia, and say, "Who are these?" These are those that they just got saved. Now, wait a minute. These folks just got saved. These are new converts. You folks just got saved. Join in the shouting. Water's fine. So you got in Revelation chapter 5, you got all believers in heaven before the tribulation. They're all in heaven singing. Then you got 12 million angels singing. Then you got every creature singing. Then you got the four living creatures saying, "Amen." In Revelation chapter 7, you got the tribulation saints, and they're singing. What's their song? Their song is "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne." Amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and honor and power be unto our God forever and ever. I'm simply saying, three cheers for Golden Streets and a million cheers for Jesus. I'm saying three cheers for gates of pearl and foundations of precious stone. Hey, but three cheers for Jesus. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be. Brother, if they got asphalt streets and Jesus is there, that's fine with me. If the gates are made of plywood and Jesus is there, that's fine with me. If the foundation nothing but concrete and Jesus is there, that's fine with me. I mean, brother, if they got, I've got a shack just over the hilltop, that's okay with me as long as Jesus is there. I'll tell you what, you won't even look up your address there if you've been with Jesus about 1,000 years. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. I'll bravely run the race till we see Christ. Then, in Revelation chapter number 7, in verse 17, we have a glimpse of heaven, and it says the Lamb is going to feed us. In Revelation chapter 8, we have a glimpse into heaven, and it has Jesus, our high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that's where he is right now. Abraham's in heaven. John the Baptist is in heaven. Paul's in heaven. My mother's in heaven. Miss Howes' mom and dad in heaven. But the Colson's got loved ones in heaven. All of us have loved ones in heaven. But Jesus, at this moment, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, looking at the mercy seat and looking at the very blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Fully on John MacArthur. On John MacArthur. And praise God for the blood of the Lamb that was slain to receive power and blessing and glory and honor and majesty world without end. Jesus is the main attraction of heaven. Revelation chapter 12, we get a glimpse into heaven. Boy, and Jesus is the main attraction here. Guess what he's going to do? Revelation chapter 12, he's casting the devil out of heaven. Yeah, boy, that's the one I want to watch. He just takes him. I won't care. I won't pick anybody up here, but there are several folks that remind me. But anyway, I think I'll pick you up. You're the smallest one. But in Revelation chapter 12, the devil's cast out of heaven. Why? So Jesus can get the glory he deserves. In Revelation chapter 15, there's a glimpse of heaven. And the Bible says they're going to sing the Song of Moses. And what is the Song of Moses about? What's it about? Well, it's about like they sing in Grand Ole Opry. I had an old hound dog got sick. I anointed with oil and he got well, so I believe there's a God. No, sir. It's not some of this religious rock. It is the Song of Moses is this song. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. I don't care if it's 2 Corinthians 5:8 or Philippians 1:23 or Acts 5:7-56 or Revelation 4 or Revelation 12. I don't care where it is, brother. When you get a glimpse into heaven, it starts talking about Jesus right away. Because Jesus is heaven. Revelation chapter 19. We get a glimpse into heaven and somebody's getting married. And guess who the bridegroom is? The wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the way, the truth, the life, the door, resurrection, the Good Shepherd, the living water, the bread of life. He, Jesus, is the bridegroom. He's getting married the marriage of the Lamb. At that, we shout. We sure are going to shout. I married a couple here yesterday afternoon. They didn't know I was here. If you ask them today who performed the ceremony, they wouldn't have the foggiest idea. They're looking at each other. Brother, if they, hunks of flesh, could look at each other and not know who else was here, Praise God, when we marry the perfect Lamb of God, the marriage of the Lamb, the Bible said we're going to say, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power of the Lord our God. Now, I won't tell you something, folks. You folks who don't get happy, you're going to be very, very embarrassed we get there. I mean, you sit with the house, what are you doing down here? I'm practicing for heaven, that's all. Yeah, just getting my lungs all fixed up. And what? And I can't wait to see some of you people that sleep during the service at this hour. And I'm going to point to you and say, I came here because you're too happy. Years ago, and I'm told this a long time, you old-timers have heard it. Oh, it's been about 27 years ago. Dr. Robertson called me and said, Dr. Howell, would you come, please, and preach for me at Highland Park Baptist Church. We're dedicating the Weigel Music Center, and Dr. Charles Weigel, the old saint of God, shouting saint, an evangelist, but now he's way up in years, in his 90s. We're calling it the Weigel Music Center, Weigel, and we want you to come, and Dr. Weigel has asked for you to preach the dedication sermon. I said, Dr. Robertson, I said, I can't come. Yeah, I want you to come on Friday night and preach for us the dedication and stay over through Sunday. And I said, I can't do that, Dr. Weigel. Dr. Robertson, I said, I'm at home every Sunday. Well, he said, Dr. Howes, why can't you be one Sunday, just one Sunday? That's all. I said, why don't you come preach for me then? Well, I'm never gone. I said, and I'm never gone either. He said, okay, I'll come preach for you, you'll come preach for me. And that Sunday, Lee Robertson left his pulpit, only time, I guess, in 35, 40 years, and came here, and I went down there, and on Friday night, I dedicated the Weigel Music Center, preached on 137th Psalm. And how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We placed our harps on the willow trees and so forth. I got through, went outside in the street, and we cut the ribbon, and I and the mayor and Congressman Brock and Dr. Robertson were there, and we cut the ribbon, and we dedicated the new building. They built an apartment back in the back of the building for Dr. Weigel. He lived alone. And after it's over, I wanted to go back, and I wanted to thank Dr. Weigel for having me. And I went back in the back, and I started to knock on the door, and I heard some hollering back in that room. I never heard so much hollering in my life. Then I heard the bed spring squeaking. The old man's in his 90s. I found out he was there jumping up and down on the bed, shouting, having a spell. And I just stood outside the door and listened to him. He's going, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, whoopee. And I just stood out there and listened to him. After about 10 or 15 minutes of that, I knocked on the door, and out he came. He had no shoes on. He had a pair of pants on. He had no undershirt, but he had a shirt on, but the shirt tail was out, and the button was unbuttoned, and you could see his hairy chest and even hair on his tummy here. And he had two hairs. They're both messed up. He looked at me, and his eyes were red. And I said, Dr. Weigel, what's going on in there? He said, just practicing for heaven. Why don't we practice for heaven? Say, glory to God. Everybody say, glory to God. Wave your hand. Hey, we're getting ready to go to heaven, folks. Jesus is the main attraction of heaven. Revelation chapter 20, we get a glimpse into heaven. And what do we see? I saw, the angel said, I saw him sitting on the throne. Revelation chapter 21, we get a glimpse into heaven. It says, and there's no need for light in the city, for Jesus, the Lamb, is the light in the city thereof. You talk about a lot of light. We're talking about a city that's 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high, wide and 1,500 miles high. You don't have a light bulb. You don't have a fluorescent light. You don't have any sun. You have no moon. No need of it. Why? Because Jesus, his presence is so bright, it just lightens the city all the time. A city as big as from Boston, Massachusetts to Miami, Florida, long, wide, and high. Revelation 22, we have a glimpse into heaven. And that little glimpse in heaven, we see the Lamb of God on the throne. Revelation chapter 1, we have a glimpse into heaven. Read it a while ago. And we see the Son of Man and the description of what he's going to look like. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, heaven's wonderful because of what's not there. Heaven's wonderful because of what is there. But heaven is heaven because of who is there. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. I often stop and think, I wonder what he looks like. How tall is he? I think he's 5'11 and 3/4 myself. What color eyes does he have? I think probably dark brown. What does he weigh? About 191. What kind of hair does he have? He has on the sides, pulled up and made into a haystack on the top. Woo! I'm going to heaven, praise God. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be, for he is there. We'll see his face. We'll see the wounds in his hands, the wounds in his feet, the wounds on his back, the wounds on his brow, and we'll see his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. I dreamed I searched heaven for you, search vainly in heaven for you. So won't you prepare to meet me up there? I dreamed I searched heaven for you. How do you prepare? Just take it. It's already prepared. Just salvation is prepared. Just take it. Anybody in this room tonight who'll realize you're a sinner, I want to say again, nobody will ever get to heaven didn't realize he was a sinner when he got saved. If you realize that you're a sinner and realize that sinners are lost and under the condemnation of God and are headed for hell, and by the way, will never get a glimpse of Jesus. And if you realize that Jesus came, virgin-born, sinless life, died in your place, rose again after 72 hours, ascended into heaven, and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, looking at his blood, reminding the heavenly Father that that blood on that mercy seat is payment enough for your salvation, the minute you believe that and rely on that as your hope for heaven, that minute you're prepared to go to heaven. If you're not prepared, you're foolish. If your name's on a church roll, you're not going to heaven, you're foolish to take a chance. You just say, yes, I know I'm a sinner, and I know sinners are lost, and I know Jesus paid the penalty for sinners. And I'm trusting him in what he did, not what I do, as my hope for heaven. Just like that, God makes you his child. What is heaven? Golden streets? Sort of. Gates of pearl? I guess so. No sickness, death, heartache, sorrow, night? Yeah, that's nice. Mansion? Yeah, that's good. But what's heaven? Heaven is Jesus. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be if he's there. Thank you, Father, for the blessed hope of heaven. Thank you that it's a real place. And I pray tonight that those who've never taken time to realize they're sinners and sinners are lost and Jesus paid the penalty for sin, and on that basis relied upon him to take them to heaven, may they tonight say yes to Christ.